Ishvara Rata Charana Parivramana Rayena. By the force of the rotation of the time agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is compared to the wheel of his chariot. Swagana, own kinsmen, Suret, and friends. Vanubhyaha, relatives. Parivarjitaha, deprived of. Sharanam, as shelter. Cha, and. Ma, may. Me, I'm sorry. Upasadataha, having obtained. Mam, me. Eva, alone. Matapitarao, father and mother. Bhatri Gatin, brothers and kinsmen. Yotakan, belonging to the herd. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Upayaya, having gotten. Na, not. I am anyone else. Kanchana, some person. Veda, it knows. Mahi, in me. Vati, very great. Vishrabdaha, having faith. Cha, and. Ata eva, therefore. Maya, by me. Matparayanasya, of one who is so dependent upon me. Poshanapalana pranana lalanam. Raising, maintaining, petting, and protecting. Anasu yuna. Who am without any grudge. Anushteyam. To be executed. Sharanya, the one who has taken shelter. Upeksha, of neglecting. Dosha vidusha, who knows the fault. So, translation. The great King Maharaj Bharata began to think, alas, this helpless young deer, by the force of time, an agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has now lost its relatives and friends and has taken shelter of me. It does not know anyone but me, as I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way, and it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me. Therefore, I should not be envious and think that for the deer, my own welfare will be destroyed. I will certainly raise, protect, gratify, and fondle it. When it has taken shelter with me, how can I neglect it? Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life, I realize that a helpless person who has taken shelter cannot be neglected. That would be a great fault. See, you see? The great King Maharaj Bharata began to think. Alas, this helpless young deer. By the force of time. An agent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Has now lost its relatives and friends. And has taken shelter of me. It does not know anyone but me. As I have become its father, mother, brother, and relatives. This deer is thinking in this way. And it has full faith in me. It does not know anyone but me. Therefore, I should not be envious. And think that for the deer, my own welfare will be destroyed. I should certainly raise, protect, Gratify and fondle it.
Gratify and fondle it.
When it has taken shelter with me.
When it has taken shelter with me.
How can I neglect it?
How can I neglect it?
Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life.
Even though the deer is disturbing my spiritual life.
I realize that a helpless person.
I realize that a helpless person.
Who has taken shelter cannot be neglected.
Who has taken shelter cannot be neglected.
That would be a great fault.
That would be a great fault.
So purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Jivavad Gijai. When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic toward all living entities suffering in the material world. Naturally, such an advanced person thinks of the suffering of the people in general. However, if one does not know the material sufferings of fallen souls and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's downfall. If one is actually sympathetic to fallen, suffering humanity, he should try to elevate people from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. As far as the deer was concerned, Bharata Maharaj became very sympathetic. But he forgot that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness because, after all, a deer is but an animal. It was very dangerous for Bharata Maharaj to sacrifice all his regulative principles simply to take care of an animal. The principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yam hina vyata yanchete purusham purusharshava. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. However, by the grace of Krishna, we may raise a person to spiritual consciousness if we ourselves follow the rules and regulations. If we give up our own spiritual activities and simply become concerned with the bodily comforts of others, we will fall into a dangerous position. So, Om Gada Timuranda Shah. Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this reminds me of flying in an airplane. You may ask why. When you first get into the airplane, of course, you sit down. But then they close the doors and they tell you to turn off your mobile phones, which is a disappointment. And then they make some announcements about the possible dangers that could occur. I mean, there's different things that happen. Like they say your life preserver is under your seat and, you know, don't scream if plane goes down. No, they don't say that. But then they make an announcement about the oxygen masks, which fall automatically when the pressure goes down. In other words, if there's a sudden loss of pressure somehow or other, someone opens the cabin door at 30,000 feet. Actually, that happened in Hawaii. There was a Hawaiian Airlines plane, and a section blew out. And the stewardess and some other people were sucked out of the plane because there's a difference in pressure. You understand? There's very low pressure when you're 30,000 feet and normal pressure at sea level. And then when you go down every 30 feet, I believe, it's like one atmosphere of pressure increases. Those of you who scuba dive would understand what I'm talking about. It's like 15 pounds per square inch. It increases to 30 pounds when you go down. Anyway, so apart from that particular point, the stewardess, she demonstrates how to use the mask. She said, don't worry if it doesn't inflate because the oxygen is still flowing. Does anyone remember this? Anyone's been in an airplane? But then she says something that's really interesting in regard to this particular verse. Does anyone know what she said? What?
First help yourself.
Yeah. So put on your own mask before helping others. Because what will happen is if you try to help others without putting your own mask on, you'll never be able to help others because you'll just probably faint. As you're putting the mask on the little kid who's squirming all over the place, then you'll faint in the meantime and you both die. So this is also very interesting insofar as helping others in this world. We can only help others. There's actually prerequisites to helping others. One prerequisite is that we're Krishna conscious, that we're following strictly Krishna consciousness, because as said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kali Kalera Dhamra Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tari Pravartana. In this day and age, the method for saving people or for becoming Krishna conscious is Krishna Nama Sankirtan. But one has to be empowered. Krishna Shakti. If one doesn't have Krishna Shakti, then one can't help others. In other words, you know, you can go out and try to preach all you want, but if you don't have the spiritual potency, then no one will get the bhakti lata bij. Because the way you help people is you give them the bhakti lata bij. You don't help them by just telling them they're not the body. There's plenty of people out there who tell you it's not your body. You're not your body. And that doesn't help you very much. Or you can tell people, be detached. They just get angry when you say that. Be detached. Sometimes people write me about following a specific diet. And I said, you just have to be detached from the tongue. And that's the last I hear from them. He said, Maharaj, you know, how do you get your health together? And I said, don't worry, this and that. And then 10 years later, you know, I hear from them again. So they avoid me like the plague. So really, the only way to help people is if you can give them the bhakti lata bij. That is the creeper of devotion or the seed of devotion. Bij means seed. Of devotion. And the only way you can do that is if you're connected to the spiritual potency. The only way you can be connected to the spiritual potency is follow the procedure. There is a certain procedure. People think that in spiritual life, there's no procedures. That was a common misconception in the 1960s, before I joined the movement, that, you know, in material life, there's a procedure for everything. If you don't follow the procedure, I mean, just like I used to fix the cars in the temple. And sometimes I just put the wrong wires on the wrong cylinders. You know, the spark plug wires. And it just didn't start. I said, start, you know, Krishna. You know, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, please let this. It still didn't start. You just didn't follow the procedure. I mean, devotees think, even devotees get so crazy sometimes, they think they don't have to follow material procedures to be successful. Like putting oil in the car or gas in the car. You know, you don't have to follow that, you know. You know, Krishna will take care. You know, you're not Srivas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas Thakur, how do you maintain your large family? He had a large family. And Srivas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya was worried because he said, you don't work. And Srivas Thakur said, I have this procedure, 1, 2, 3, if I have to fast for 3 days, then I will drown myself in the Ganges. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right, I'll make sure you get enough to eat, you know, everything. And the god, even if the goddess of fortune has to go begging, you'll have enough. You know, even if Lakshmi becomes poor, a pauper, then you will have enough. But that doesn't apply for all of us. It's not that Krishna, by his mystic potency, is going to, you know, give you food every day. You have to work for it. You have to work. You know, this is like those of you who have jobs understand that if you don't work your job, then no money. Or as they say in the Chinese laundry, no tiki, no shirty. You've ever heard that saying before? That's an old saying, no tiki, no shirty. In other words, you don't have your ticket to pick up your shirt, you won't get your shirt. That's an old saying, isn't it? No tiki, no shirty. So, therefore, there's a procedure for things in this world. I mean, things work in a certain way. You know, what goes up must come down. Now, sometimes people, you know, we criticize the scientists, for example, because of their because of the atheist's conclusion that there's no God. That's what we criticize. But, you know, when they do some scientific study about some disease or something like that, that's not wrong. I mean, if it's done without bias, you know, they come up with some results. Of course, they may not be considering all the different variables. That's a different point. But in any case, you know, there are procedures for doing things in this world. And it's interesting. Another point is that we're trying to start procedures for joining the Hare Krishna movement, you know, like screening people and, you know, things like that, and make sure that the person hasn't been in the, hasn't tried to commit a suicide in the last week, things like that, or hasn't killed too many people. You know, we do a background check. You know, we consult the FBI. Is this a mass murderer? And people say, oh, this is not bhakti. This is not bhakti. You know, you just have to trust in Krishna. He's chanting Hare Krishna. He's so nice. So what if he killed people? He's a mass murderer, you know. Or he shot up people at the kindergarten the other day, you know. He loves Krishna. So so we have this procedure now. We're instituting. Many people complain about the procedure. But, you know, you need a procedure to protect people. So in the same way, in spiritual life, there's procedures for becoming Krishna conscious. Or like we were talking about flying a plane the other day. When you fly a plane, I mean, if you're a pilot, I used to pilot planes, not a 747 or anything like that, you know, a Cessna. Cessna is like almost like a baby plane that you can get into. So, one engine. So there's a whole checklist you follow. Anyone's flown a plane here? No. There's a checklist. You get a checklist. You know, first of all, you got to check to see if there's water in the gasoline. That may appear to be. Why should you check that? Because there's condensation when you go up in the air, and when there's condensation in your fuel tank, the water, you understand, settles in the fuel tank. So you have to bleed the fuel tank. I don't know if you knew this. Teach you about flying. One of the first things you do, get this clear thing and you bleed the fuel tank just to make sure there's no water. Because if there's water and the engine stops, it's not that you get out off the plane and walk to the nearest gas station. You know, it doesn't work like that. So there's a whole procedure list. Like we were talking about how to lock the temple at night, right? You should type up a procedure list and checklist. And the pilots go through that. You know, they check, you know, flaps down, air on, you know, engine on, things like that, brakes off. You know, sometimes people drive a car and they leave the brakes on. So there has to be a whole procedure. Like that. I mean, if you can't remember to do everything, I mean, if it's a multi-step procedure, just go around with a list on a clipboard. You know, turn the key, put it in drive, take the brake off, wipe your glasses off, you know, all sorts of things like that. So the same thing with Krishna consciousness, it's a science. Spiritual life has a certain procedure, and if you neglect any item in the procedure, what do they say? The chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So you just, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. I mean, unless you're Kripa Siddha, there's different types of becoming perfect. There's Sadhana Siddha, Kripa Siddha, and Nitya Siddha. So some of you may be Nitya Siddha. That means eternally liberated. So therefore, you don't have to worry about following any procedure. There's actually, you know, great devotees who didn't follow any procedure. And some of you may be creeper sitter. You got some mercy, you went to the guru, but that when he wasn't looking, you took some foot dust. I wish it was so easy. I mean, I took Prabhupada's foot dust so many times. In the beach, I walked behind him and just ate the sand from his footprint. And I'm still not siddha, you know. So, of course, an example of creepers, it was like Narada Muni when he ate the remnants of the sages during the 4 months of the rainy season. And he was got initiated, and he was a little kid, you know. But generally, like Prabhupada said, Kripa Siddha is in the same category as one getting an honorary degree from the university. You know, some people do that. Like if you happen to be the president of the United States or some prominent person like Albert Einstein who flunked out of eighth grade. You know, he did, actually. Because, it was just too boring for him. So then he got honorary degrees everywhere. Albert Einstein, didn't get degrees. He got honorary degrees. So that's Kripa Siddha, where you get an honorary degree in Krishna consciousness. It's something like the Wizard of Oz. Where, here's a brain, here's a certificate. Remember the Wizard of Oz? See that Wizard of Oz? Or here's a heart. Tin Man wanted a heart, the Scarecrow wanted a brain, right? Did I get it right? So, if I remembered Krishna so well, I'd be a good devotee. So, not too many creeper siddhas. So, sadhana siddha means to follow the process. We have Vaishnava behavior, rules and regulations, Hari Bhakti Vilas, nectar of devotion also. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, nothing looks like that, and then you follow. And then you can become Krishna conscious, and then you can help others. That's the point. That's the only time you can really help others. So the point is, here's the heavy point, that Maharaj Bharata was being so selfish that he neglected the deer. And you may say, what I mean by that. Because he was thinking of his own, or maybe not thinking, but it was subconscious, but he was acting in such a way to fill his own desires and needs. And he was using the deer to do that. Do you understand? He was using the deer, although it appeared to be compassion, love, empathy, and all that other stuff, all that other nice, warm, and fuzzy stuff, he was actually not thinking of the deer. Although it appeared he was thinking of the deer, he was thinking of how the deer can please me. Although he wouldn't admit it. I mean, it really wasn't in his consciousness. He wasn't thinking. Because, obviously, the deer is not pleased by having some slob kiss him. You think the deer is thinking, thank you for your kiss, buddy. Hare Krishna. So, of course, the petting the deer may get some material satisfaction from. But basically, he was petting the deer and kissing the deer because the deer pleased his senses. Because he considered the deer, because of the way the deer looked and felt, to be an object of love. In other words, he was discriminating based upon his own sense gratification, which is what we generally do. That when people have pets, usually it's something that pleases your senses. I mean, and sometimes I joke and I say, you should keep a pet cockroach. And people go, ew! Or if I say, you should have a pet cat. And they go, oh, very nice. Or a pet parakeet. Polly want a cracker. So, Polly want a japati. It's a devotee parakeet. So, or minor birds are better. So, You see how you react, you know, when you say you should have a pet something, a pet porcupine. I mean, who wants to pet a porcupine? But the reason you're making a choice, or you're discriminating between a porcupine and a cat or something that's furry, is because you're thinking of your own senses, isn't it? You're just thinking of your own sense gratification. Otherwise, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hashtanu Shuni Cheyur Swapakita Pandita Samadarshana. Like the learned and gentle sage is described in the Gita, he sees a dog, a cow, a Brahmin, you know, Malecha, everything exactly the same because he's not considering his own sense gratification. So his mercy is Pandita Samadarshana. The pundit, in this particular case, pundit means learned person. Sama means the same. Darshana means to see. Just like we have, it's time for darshan of the deities. That means to see the deities. Actually, in South America, they said, it's time for Govinda, right? That's actually funny. It's time for Govinda. I couldn't figure that out when I first went to South America. It's time for Govinda. What do you mean? But it's Didi Darshan, it's called, to be technical about it. Or greeting the deities, which is the same thing. So, Pandita Samadarshana. So the pundit, he sees all these living entities equally. Now he's equally compassionate to the deer and to the spider and to the human being. Of course, that doesn't mean he deals with them in the same way. Like Prabhupada comments here in the purport, that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness because, after all, a deer is but an animal. So he, you know, by this mundane interaction he had, it didn't help the deer elevate him to spiritual consciousness. He could have done something to help the deer, which would be to do his spiritual activities and chant Hare Krishna in the deer's ear. Because as Haridas Thakur says in the Harinam Chintamani, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questions, you know, how to help all the living entities and even the inanimate living entities, Haridas Thakur replies, the loud chanting of the holy name can liberate everybody. So what he should have done is become more enthusiastic about his spiritual activities. I mean, he could have fed the deer. These other things are fine. It's not we're advocating being hard-hearted. You know, it is a fact if someone has taken shelter of you, even materially, you got to take care of them. That's, you know, that's true. It's sinful to actually neglect someone who has taken shelter and been and dependent on you. But it doesn't mean you have to do something that's detrimental to their spiritual lives in order to satisfy your own senses. That's different. That's exploitation. Or another point is that sometimes people think they have to sacrifice themselves spiritually and materially to help people. That's called codependency. We see this all the time. And actually, if you really want to help someone, you have to, I wouldn't say be emotionally detached from them, but not emotionally dependent on them. Like if you have a therapist, psychologist, and, you know, he just becomes emotionally attached to his client, you know, like, oh, and he's dreaming of his client 24 hours a day, and his whole self-worth is based upon curing his client. He's useless. And that's also like codependent relationships. Sometimes in marriage it's like that. The woman thinks, you know, by her love she's going to help someone. But really, to help someone, there has to be a certain amount of emotional distance. I mean, you can't be cold as a cucumber, as the saying goes. But you really have to be really detached, or else you're going to be controlled by the other person and then drawn into their own maya. You understand? So You know, so some, but sometimes therapists, they're taking care of their patients, they get attached, and then sometimes they fall in love, which is actually against the ethics of the profession, if that happens. Or they have some illicit relationship in it, and even ministers and priests, that's called pastoral abuse. Even if it's something that both parties agree with, it's actually pastoral abuse. Because you're losing your ability to help the person, and then you're switching roles, which is really bad for both of you. So in other words, there has to be a certain amount of detachment. And let's take the position of the spiritual master, for example. If the spiritual master is gathering disciples for his own purpose. Either it's a pecuniary purpose, that means financial, or the purpose is for his emotional satisfaction. He wants people to love him. You know, so many disciples do I have today, so many more will I have tomorrow. This is a nice guru puja, it really turns me on. I love being worshipped. Look at me, my name. I want to hear my name chanted. Oh, Jaya Jaya you, Jaya Jaya you, we love you. You might as well have just been a rock and roll star. I mean, at least that would be more honest. You know, that's a spiritual version of the Beatles. Whoops, sorry. Actually, I have many more things I wanted to say. So, that's the point. To help people, there has to be a certain amount of emotional distance. Otherwise...